Welcome back to the Swing Hard Podcast. Today's going to be a lot of fun, mostly because of my guest. He's going to look a lot better than me on camera because he spent some time on camera in his life. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm here today with Adam Bain, our golf operations manager for Heritage Point. Adam, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Barry. A lifelong dream to be on a podcast called Swing Hard. I mean, anyone that knows my golf game would probably assume that I'd be on a podcast called like Swing Mediocrely Easy and just try to hit fairways.
But. Well, that's going to change this year. And we've talked about that. And I know you've already been on the golf course early this season. So that's great to hear. Adam, you and I have been working together for a number of years. I want to talk a little bit about that because how we met and how we started working together is interesting. And you've kind of bounced around between a few courses. Maybe you can give your iteration of how we met and you know where how you've grown throughout the organization.
100%. It was a snowy weekend in Montana, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
upon the onset, I think, of our relationship,
What year would have that been?
2016.
2016. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I was the head professional at the Springs course in Radium.
Yeah.
And we had engaged in a relationship between Windmill and the ownership group at the Springs at the time. We came under Windmill's management. I got to work with you, with Kevin Thistle, and some other fantastic people with a wealth of knowledge. And I remember that weekend where we sat at your table and brainstormed, and I soaked it up. You know, all the tools that Windmill possessed to take a golf course that was struggling and make it successful.
Yeah, I actually really remember that time we were able to spend together. There were several people that we invited down there and just had a brainstorming session and said, hey, what are the great things you guys are already doing? What are the little things that we might be able to add to help the operation? And I think was the nucleus of where that our relationship started. But so that was at the Springs, and you know we did work you know there for a little bit and try to help get a couple of those courses on track. That was a fun experience. I remember the drives back and forth from the Radium area many times. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history there?
I grew up on the very east coast of Canada. So
yeah.
Born in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. So without the accent, but if you ask nicely, can't come back. I at one point in my life, which is a story maybe we'll get to, I on a whim moved to Invermere, BC.
Right.
So the Kootenay region, and I started my career in the golf industry a little late in life. I'm working at Eagle Ranch Resort, and then 4 years later, moved all the way up to head professional at the Springs course. We met each other, and I love the mountains. Coming from the sea, kind of completed that journey from coast to to mountain region and just really special area.
Loved
every minute of the Kootenays. Destination golf, got to learn how to really attract a different type of clientele than we're used to here in the city. And then once we met, I loved the Windmill concept. I totally believed in the what I would call even today still the together is better philosophy.
Yeah.
And we carried on. I've worked with a couple other courses that were again sort of in that what I'd call struggling to stay afloat, needed a repurposing, refocus of energy, and we've helped a couple golf courses turn a new page.
Yeah, no, definitely have. I think one of the things I want to just hone in on a little bit that you said is you came into golf a little bit later in life, because I think so many of us that are passionate about golf, you know, for me, I was a kid, right? I was really young. I grew up around the game. I played every day all summer, but the experience for you was a little bit different. How old were you when you first got, starting to get a passion or introduced to the game?
I had clubs in my hand since before I could talk, really. My dad was an all around athlete and played just about every sport.
Yeah.
But I didn't really take golf seriously until, probably 12 years old.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a baseball player, right? So, I was a pitcher, and I thought that's where I was going to head.
That was the career.
I never really got past 5'6" and 3/4", and
depending on what shoes you're wearing,
100%. And so Everyone else's fastball caught up to mine. And yeah, I found that on the golf course that, yeah, you didn't always have to swing hard to produce results.
Yeah.
And yeah, we found some success there really quickly. I had a really competitive junior career.
Yeah.
Very successful junior career, to which I was pondering whether to go down and compete or to stay up and pursue education, which right. is the latter, which I chose to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So education, and you didn't, like, from a career standpoint, I think that's what you're, you know, primarily referencing a little earlier. You didn't get involved in the golf career until a little later in life.
No, I went to Mount Allison University. I took out a major in international business and economics, and also with a very different focus in dramatic literature.
Right.
I found a passion for language and as well as just maybe being in front of a live audience. After Mount Allison, I actually went and I studied acting. And I did a year conservatory in Toronto, and then I started a career in the arts, live theater, stand-up comedy, TV and film, acting, writing, yep. a little bit of producing. And yeah, it was a full-on 10, 11-year career. I did that up until I started to lose my hair a little bit. And yeah, and then one fiery day in Toronto, I made a very split second decision to make a 180 degree switch in my life. And,
right.
Yeah.
And that's when you came out west.
Yeah. So the story is this. So I was being represented by an agent in Toronto. I'd had a pretty successful career, including a Canadian Comedy Award for a movie that I was the third lead in, Roller Town, was on roller skates, the whole movie. That's comedy in itself.
Wow.
But yeah, so I was living the life. I was managing restaurants, auditioning for gigs. This is, you know, as I was getting a little older and, you know, all of a sudden I found myself auditioning less and less for roles and, right. you know, being less castable or maybe in the eyes of the producers anyway. I was just in that awkward phase where, you know, I didn't sure. have that youthful energy as much anymore as I used to. And, I got a call back to be the host of a dating show, which shall remain nameless. And, at the callback, they sat me down and they effectively said, you know, we're going with a female voice for the host, to which I was, well, what the heck am I doing here?
Right.
What,
right.
And they said, well, we think you're really funny and we were going to pay you your quote. And we want you to be a contestant on the show.
Okay.
I had so much pride in what I had built, the career that I built, that right. I was furious. I told them exactly where I thought they should go. I yeah. left the room. I called my agent. I asked her if she knew how this had happened. And she said, well, it's about the money. They're going to get paid. I said, right. you don't understand me. You're fired.
Yeah.
I called my manager and I said the same thing. I said, did you talk to my agent? Well, yeah, but the money was good. And I said, you're the one that's supposed to know me.
Right, right.
You're fired. I immediately went home. I got on Google and I Googled golf course jobs. And I ended up about 3 weeks later in Invermere, BC.
Yeah.
Running their bar and the rest is history.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And so, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people take different career paths. Those are almost polar opposites, right? And earlier you said you took a 180, so certainly, you know, mm-hmm. a different way to come back to golf. But, you know, the interesting thing is you had some roots in sport, roots in golf, played competitively growing up, and that's probably what drew you back to it to a degree, for sure.
Absolutely. The love for the game, the spark for getting out there and enjoying it myself. And
yeah.
and now more so is watching other people absolutely love it, right?
Yeah.
Giving back, whether it's, you know, men, women, juniors, it's the, you know, watching people have a great day at a course that, you know, we're facilitating that experience. That's sort of one of the things that gets me up in the morning,
right.
which is absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about what we're up to now. Mm-hmm. You know, golf operations manager at Heritage Point, where I think we're going into our third year now with you at the helm there, which is great. I want to talk a little bit about culture, and there's a specific reason for this, and I'm going to dive into it in a minute. But we've got something special at Heritage Point in some ways, which, you know, every club does. Every club has their own great culture and unique components to it. But tell us a little bit about the Heritage Point team and you know, what you appreciate and enjoy about Heritage Point.
I mean, Heritage Point is a special place. It's funny because I look at my business background and then, you know, my entertainment background. To me, you know, it's, I live a weird life where two polar opposites sort of marry together. And,
right.
And then I look at each business, you know, almost as yourself, almost like an entrepreneur. Say, how do we take this and make it more special? When I first read the trade name for Heritage Point, the word revitalization is in it.
Right.
Okay. I took that word and went, that's what we need to do. Right. It's a new acquisition for Windmill. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to really start fresh.
Right.
One of the things that I am so proud with regards to the culture is the staffing culture. As it relates to golf ops, I can tell you that I hired in 2020.
Right.
I haven't really had to hire since. We have built a team that you know, that supports each other, that
a lot of loyalty, that
protects each other.
Yeah.
Right. They, you know, we do not have a team of individual all stars.
Right.
We have a team of people that hold the shield for each other. And watching them grow as a team and you know, us being able to give back to them to make sure that year after year they show up and they're motivated and
totally.
They're successful and they really tell the story of Heritage Point. It's vibrant. It's you know, a fantastic golf course that we want to make better and better.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm gonna share a couple of things. I think that really speaks a lot to leadership, you know, what you're describing and loyalty and some of these components. And, you know, I actually sent a tweet yesterday, and this is something that will resonate with you, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before. But, you know, I think there's something to be said for loyalty and for people coming back year after year. You know, obviously we have a stable of full-time people on our team, but especially those seasonal people, because mm-hmm. a lot of times I find, you know, today that, you know, young people or even people that are progressing their careers, they'll have 3, 4, 5 jobs or a 5-year stint. And so I tell our leadership team a lot, before you get enamored with somebody's actual resume, like we can all put great things on paper. Look for two things. Number one, what's their tenor of employment? Like, what's their actual employment history? Have they bounced around a tremendous amount, or do they seem more loyal? And number two, always hire attitude over aptitude, because we can train and we can get people that have the right attitude to be team players. And I think that's what you've done such a great job with, you know, at Heritage Point, to continue to keep this great nucleus of people together, you know, in so much that my son, who, you know, you know, has worked with you in the past, you know, he didn't last summer, and, you know, went out and, you know, did some great things in the summer and got an AC repair certificate, and it was a good experience from that perspective, but he didn't love it. And, you know, he enjoys working with you as a leader so much. He's like, I'm coming back and I'm working with Adam because he's the best boss I've ever had. So, you know, testament to, I think, who you are, but also a testament to the team of the people that we've, you know, got at Heritage Point, that it's just a great culture, inviting, warm environment that really makes a difference, because not only for the people there, but it's all the guests and members as well. I think they can feel that.
Yeah, we're in the people industry. We're not in the golf industry.
Right.
And people need to come to work and they need to feel listened to. They need to feel supported, and, you know, and we need to have fun. Right. It's sort of the trifecta. If you can accomplish that, you know, watch out, because, you know, the staff are the people on the front lines, right? They're the ones that make me successful, thereby you successful.
Yeah.
You know, to your point about resumes, couldn't agree more. If every resume corresponded 100% with the individual, I don't think anybody would ever quit. And I don't think anybody would ever get fired.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't live in that universe.
Right.
We've got a great team, and I think we all believe in the product as well, which is, you can't sell something you don't believe in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, fortunately for us this year, looks like the course is coming out of the winter in good shape. You know, the last 2 years we've had a few problems in a few areas, but this year it's looking good. Cross our fingers that we are now out of the weeds with too much more snow and we get green here. I saw irrigation fired on early this morning, so that's all great, and that'll get us green quickly. Adam, let's dovetail a little bit and change directions. I want to go back to something you said earlier when you know, you had a golf club in your hand when you were young, you know, started playing more competitively. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us one or two of your great stories as it relates to some of your competitive golf?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, we're going back to when I had hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things now where, like I said, for me, you know, to get out and enjoy the game is fantastic. And, you know, right. It's not that I've lost the competitive edge. It's just that, you know, it's a shift of focus. I'm as passionate about other people enjoying the game and the business being successful as I am about getting out there and, you know, blowing away the competition.
Right.
But when I was younger, I was inspired by Tiger Woods, like so many. And, you know, one of the reasons why at 12 years old, I kind of just went, you know, I'm not just going to play golf. I'm going to start to learn this game. And I, every waking, breathing moment of my life, I would let the sun wake me up and I would, you know, I'd drive to the golf course and hit golf balls before they were open.
Right.
You know, and it paid off, right? Hard work paid off.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where in my final year of junior golf, I was nationally ranked. But in terms of one specific story, I would say
one event or something that sticks out.
So
to
the first year of the, cause I was living in Sackville, New Brunswick, Bagtown, was actually where I went to university at Mount Allison. And so little tiny town, I was a member of a couple different clubs. So in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, and there was the first year of the Atlantic Junior Golf Tour.
Okay. Right?
So, was a sanction.
Yeah. You are dating yourself a bit now.
Yes, 100%. anyway, so the New Brunswick leg, right. I finished tied for second, but I was each province allocated points specific to their province. So I played off for Low New Brunswicker, and I lost that playoff, but was in a good position for the overall tour heading into the second leg, which was another 2 day event at the Amherst Golf and Country Club, which was a course that. Was 15 minutes away from where I lived in Sackville. So I knew the course inside out. I was actually a member there as well as the little course where I grew up. And I shot 74 day one.
Yeah.
I was three strokes back, wasn't in the final group. And I just went out day two and made a ton of birdies. And I think I tripled hole 17, right? To get me back to even par. And then I birdied the last hole.
Oh, wow.
Right. But I was so furious at the triple that I went inside, threw my ticket down, got my hot dog and fries and started eating and held my head in my hands and went, oh gosh, I lost this.
Right.
Anyway, I ended up in a three person playoff.
Oh, wow.
And you know, the whole tournament went out, was on the first tee. It was a 612 yard, S-shaped downhill par five. And I remember hitting two wood, nine iron. I hit it 15 feet behind the hole and the greens were lightning. And I know the other guys missed their birdie putts. And I just remember not even
being able to
breathe.
Yeah.
And that putt just falling right in the back of the cup.
Good for you.
Yeah. That to me is that was as good as it gets.
And those are the golf memories that stick with us forever, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially us that play a lot. And even if you haven't played competitive golf, I mean, I was down in Arizona a couple of weeks ago with some friends and business associates, and it wasn't competitive, but you know, there's some side bets going on. And you know, those memories will stick with me for a long time. You know, the golf courses we were playing, the fun we had. You know, on the last hole, we were playing a team competition in a match. I had a, I don't know, 5-footer to win our match for our team, right? Yeah. That ball, I've never in my life had a ball so far down the hole that lipped out. Like, you know, the rest of the guys are around the green watching it and everybody thought it was in. But, you know, we tied, and it was probably the way the match should have ended, but these are great memories. And I think, you know, it's one of the awesome things about golf. It's, you know, less about the actual golf at times. It's more about the friendships, you know, lifetime of memories, which we all cherish so much.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, you can look at that from a micro perspective or a macro perspective. You can go out and enjoy it by yourself with your bag strapped around your back, hitting our 3-hole loop.
Yeah.
And practicing and just being in love with being outside, being alone, or with your group, with your regular friends, your foursome, you know, and then there's your party, your corporate event, your team can get out and enjoy, or membership can come together. And I think that's why we're here today.
Right.
100%.
No question. Adam, I know we've got a lot going on. Thank you for your time today. Heritage Point, we're going to have a ton of fun this year. I'm going to be down there playing a lot. I live pretty close, which is one of the unique benefits that I have of being down there. But what a blast. Thank you for your effort, your leadership, and everything you have to offer. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Swing Hard Podcast. If you're not subscribed to us on any of the major streaming platforms or, of course, on YouTube, please do so. We'd really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.